Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, starting a business is not only hard, but it's a unique experience. I've started three businesses and really have only been wildly successful at one of them. But my next guest has done a lot better. Howard Love is founder or co-founder over 15 businesses and invests in over 50 startups, including two of my favorite, Trulia and Hotel Tonight. Howard, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you finally decided to put this all together in a book called The Startup J-Curve. Tell us what that book is about and what inspired you to do this.
Yeah, well, after 35 years, you know, 15 startups, 50 or 60 angel investments, I saw a fundamental pattern that pretty much every startup goes through, and it's going to be familiar to you as someone who's gone through a lot of these and others as well. Most people think the startup sort of starts off day one. You have this great idea you're all fired up about with, and the sort of line and curve goes straight up and to the right. But that's not what happens in you know, the experience I've seen. And the curve actually dips down for a while, gets tough, and then if you figure it out, then it starts going up and to the right. So, and it from my perspective, I saw six discrete stages that startups go through. So I wanted to get that message out there to help entrepreneurs get through the tough parts of startups, and so they can, you know, kind of get from start to success as fast as possible.
And this is very different than what they put in their business plan, right? Because every business plan, the financials look the same, Howard, right? In year five, we all get rich.
How true. And I think...
You can use that one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people... think, I don't know, maybe it's year two or three where we get some, you know, amazing buyout offer.
I think a lot of those of us who are experienced entrepreneurs, we can relate the whole idea of a J curve, because I think that some people have some early on success with some early adopters, and then things really get tough, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, back to your point about the business plan, you know, no business plan survives contact with reality.
Right.
And you could say a sort of a correlating statement, which is that almost no business plan ends up becoming the reality. So, for example, let's talk about a few products. Twitter actually began as Odeo.
Right.
So people think Twitter, oh, I want to be that. Well, you know what? Twitter was a hair's breadth away from failure. If Odeo was a podcast service, and they realized it was going to be doomed when Apple debuted iTunes, so they had this wild and crazy idea, and a few of them went off and put Twitter together, what became Twitter, and people loved it, and it took off. Groupon, for example, originally started as a socially responsible fundraising site called The Point, and that wasn't working out so well, and they came up with this crazy idea about group buying. The Pinterest began as Tote, and this isn't a new phenomenon. William Wrigley, for example, used a free piece of chewing gum to help sell his primary products, which were soap and baking powder,
right,
until he realized that the chewing gum was more popular.
Right. So Howard, is that the hardest part of the J curve? Is that you have some initial success, and then things don't work out so well, and you got to decide how you should morph your business, or if you should morph it?
Well, that's exactly right, and so that's where it gets tough, and that's the dip of the J curve, and I call that the long cold winter or the valley of death, and it's where startups go to die unless they figure it out. And so,
kind of like a Game of Thrones kind of thing, right? The long winter's coming.
The long winter's coming, and more. So just to walk through the phases super quick. Phase one is create, and I sort of term that dreams unburdened by reality, and then you have release, which is it always ends up to be tougher than expected to get the darn thing out there, and then you release it, and that usually hits the market with a thud or crickets, or, you know, call it what you will. And then you have morph, which is what you just mentioned, and that's really where startups need to figure it out. And that's sort of after the, you know, Houston, we have a problem sort of statement, and that's where you try and see what is working about the product. And there usually is something, and that's the good news. There's usually something, some glimmer of hope. There's something that is resonating with the customers. It's rarely what you initially envisioned, but then the morphing process is to focus in on the one thing that is working and sort of chuck everything else. And it's tough. And it's tough for people to accept that the initial idea isn't working. But there are tools, and that's part of, you know, what the book is to give you the tools to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and how to overcome these challenges.
And to figure out parts that aren't working and really chuck the initial vision, the idea, that takes really checking your ego at the door, doesn't it?
Big time. It's very, very tough. It's tough, I think, emotionally, mentally, and everything else. And you know, Barry, making it twice as tough if you've raised money, which most startups have, is the fact that you've gone out and sold this. I mean, you sold the initial business plan. You told your friends and family, your angel investors, whoever else, that, you know, darn it, this is going to be the product, and it's going to take off, and it's going to be amazing. And so, yeah, the truth is you're in a very awkward situation, both with yourself, with your other employees and your coworkers, and also with the investors. But look, your back's up against the wall, because if you don't do it, you're going to die, and all those people are going to be terribly disappointed anyway. So, it's absolutely, it's tough.
Well, you've invested in a lot of businesses. What is really the difference between those that succeed and those that ultimately, which is most of them, fail?
The ones that succeed are incredibly persistent. They're resilient. They do kind of check their ego at the door in terms of the product, and yet they are absolutely committed to the vision, and they will do anything to make it happen. They're also very, very honest with themselves and realistic about what's going on, and so that they can make the changes they need to make quickly. Time is your enemy in a startup. As I know you know, Barry, and runway is everything. And, you know, those who succeed, they see it for what it is, they make the necessary adjustments, and they move on down the road. They can deal with the small failures in order to protect the enterprise. And those are the guys, those are the folks who make it.
Yeah, and I love what you say, that really they really endure, they come back from the very small failures, just as long as you don't go off the road. What changes are you really seeing today in the startup landscape?
Well, on the one hand, it's much easier to do a startup today than it was, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And that's great. On the other hand, in some ways, it's almost too easy. But startups startups are being formed in almost every city. There are hundreds of accelerators out there just in the United States, and of course they're popping up in all around the world in far flung countries and cities. I was talking to some friends the other day. There were almost, if you sort of rewind the tape 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there were very few professors of entrepreneurship, for example, if any, maybe a handful over at Stanford. Today, there are thousands of professors of entrepreneurship. So startups are very consistent with our culture, our risk-taking and kind of go-for-it culture here in the U.S., and that's becoming true around the world. So it's really neat to see. Is it a little sort of overbaked right now, and in certain parts of the startup world, is it looking a little bit like a bubble, for example, with the unicorns? I'd say yes, but long term, the trend of startups and folks getting out there to do their own thing is up and to the right, and so it's really, really neat to see.
So the last question I got to ask you is, what is the favorite business that you ever invested in that you knew absolutely positively, Howard, this was going to succeed and it failed?
It is such an incredibly long list.
Honestly, just give us one.
Well, here's the wonky thing. The wonky thing is that, my venture partner is a guy named David Heeman, an amazing guy, and those ventures where we have invested at the very beginning and we have said, oh my God, we are so fired up, we're in this deal, we are literally high-fiving, we're doing everything but popping the champagne, right at the initial investment, almost all of those have failed. And the ones where we're like, oh, geez, this looks like just an absolutely crazy idea, and I'm not even sure, frankly, I get it, but we like this individual, and we're going to back them, those have actually proved to be the biggest successes.
Howard, I got to go. You got to invest in people. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Barry, so much for having me.
Coming up next, how do you run a company for both financial success and social good? And is that even possible? This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.